Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Go away.
Who is it?
Brenda.
Everybody, this is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 24, Cuffs and Links. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
It took until Dave saying it just now for me to realize why it's Cuffs and Links, because of the golf. That's why Links.
Oh. Okay.
Sigh. Hi.
You're spoiled.
How are you, Sarah?
I'm fine. I am eager to discuss Barry Bonds' appearance on this show. Just kidding. I don't care.
Oh, great. Well, I have a couple of questions in this, but I'll race through this because I know this did not capture your attention. It didn't mine either, but let's do it anyway. Dave, do we have any show site business up top?
I think we're good.
All right. Let's start with our C story, Sanders versus Sanders. So Brandon and Jim are getting ready to be in this father-son golf tournament with Steve and his dad, whose name is Rush. He's one of the Capwells from Santa Barbara, I think Mason, if I recall correctly. Or anyway,
sure.
The dad.
Yes.
The dad, I believe. This is, I think, the first time that we've seen Rush on the show. There's been lots of Samantha, but not a lot of dad. But anyway.
I think maybe we saw a Rush, and it was not this Rush, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
We definitely haven't seen this Rush, which is like Rush Prime. Before. Yeah.
So, I just want to say how much restraint I have right now not breaking into a Rush song.
Or Rush Rush by Paula Abdul. Anyway, he's a rich white blowhard from Beverly Hills, as we hear in clip number 2.
My son tells me you haven't played in a while.
Well, actually, I haven't swung a club since we left Minnesota about 3 years ago.
That'd be 4 years, Dad.
But who's counting?
I tell you what we do. Why don't we get you out to the course, get you warmed up. We won't have any embarrassing moments on the tee.
My dad used to be the club champ, so he doesn't let anybody forget that.
Come on, will you?
That was a great,
He's very,
my son tells me
he's got a real Alan Thicke kind of thing going with his speech cadence anyway. So that's that guy in a nutshell. He wants everyone to take his car because he just got it. It's a turbo Bentley, barf. Steve says that Rush wants to show it off. And then Rush, adding insult to injury, offers to let Brandon drive and is unrepentant about never having made Steve the same offer due to Steve's many speeding tickets, also because he doesn't like or respect Steve. And then the Walshes end up having to scrub out of the tournament due to unforeseen circumstances, which we will get to. But this means that another father-son pair is joining the Sanders foursome, as we hear in clip number 3.
I've got you going out with your old nemesis, Barry Larson.
Oh, come on. You got to be kidding.
Sorry, Rush. His tee time's right behind yours, so you're going out together.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Is that Barry Larson, the baseball player?
No, the podiatrist. Of course, the baseball player. Guy's been a boil of my butt at this club for years.
Why is that, Dad? Did he beat you or something?
You'd be on your game today. The Larsons are going down.
So then we're about to meet this Barry Larson, the baseball player, who is totally Barry Bonds pre-things that he later did in his career, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Is it alleged? Yeah. I don't even know.
I don't. All right, here's the story. I think it's pretty much a truth universally agreed upon that he did take steroids.
Okay.
This is while he still had hair anywhere on his head. That's not relevant. I'm just saying it's like startling to see him look so young and also with like a normal sized head.
Yeah, he looks like a different person. Like,
yeah,
I know what Barry Bonds looks like because I live in the world and was like, wow, he really did a lot of things to himself.
I like the amount of pride you said that with. I know what Barry Bonds looks
like. Hey, I do. I don't know a lot of things. That's one of the things I know.
Grade me. I'm ever so good.
These are the bonds I know. I know. These are the bonds I know. Okay, so that's a thing. But technically, even if he did do it, it wasn't against the rules in baseball, technically, even though it was illegal, like, in the world. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really matter. And what they managed to string him up for was, like, allegedly lying to this grand jury. Anyway.
All right.
Also, that's not Bobby Bonds, Barry Bonds' father, who is no longer alive, but was at the time this was taped. This is a guy called Stack Pierce, who also was a boxer and played pro ball for a few years, which could mean many things, none of which necessarily mean the major leagues, but I don't know. I think it would have been more fun to get Bobby Bonds. I don't think he actually had anything better to do.
Yeah. Especially under the circumstances. But the other thing I don't get is, like, if they establish this guy's name is Barry, he's presumably, probably, even at this point in his career, pretty recognizable to the general public.
Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely. Why wouldn't they just have him play himself? Like, he doesn't come off bad in the storyline. Rush does. So I don't know why they make it seem like did he not want to be needling another player under his real name? It's weird.
I don't get it. And of all the things that that Barry Bonds was ever accused of, like, he wasn't pleasant to the press, mm-hmm. and he used performance-enhancing drugs, but, like, shit-talking other players was not on the list, right. I don't think.
Anyway.
He had no need to.
So, Rush is mad, and then he and Steve meet up with Barry Larson, air quotes, and his dad. They make with some boring trash talk, but it's enough to infuriate Rush. So he's that kind of person who's very thin-skinned. And when the game is actually underway, Rush tries to give Steve golf tips, and Steve is annoyed that Rush is up his ass and says it's why he quit playing golf in the first place, even though he's really good. Steve hits a ball into the side of a hill or something. Then Rush hits a drive that's, like, super amazing, and Barry asks if Rush has a secret weapon. Oh, my God, does he? Well, then Rush, at a next hole, sees, or claims to see, a cut on his ball and goes to switch it out for one in his bag. And when he refuses the offer of one of Steve's, Steve figures out that Rush is up to some kind of golf shenanigans, and Rush admits that he bought some kind of ball vibrator or some shit. I don't know. I don't care. Your parents play golf. Do you know anything about this? Although they're not cheaters, so.
No. I mean, there are things that are, like, not legal to use in club tournament play, but I don't. Like, I really was not paying close enough attention to the subplot to even understand. I think they actually may have just made something up so as not to encourage cheating amongst the golfers in the audience.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, he says it's some kind of device that he ordered. He mail ordered because it's the 90s, and it, like, vibrates the ball and makes it go faster. And when Steve expresses disgust that Rush is cheating, Rush comes back right back with a 1-2. One, Steve has no right to read anyone else for cheating, fair. And two, Rush wouldn't have to cheat if Steve worked on his game more. Steve gives him a look that is so wounded. You can see it in the visual aids. He is really, really offended by this somewhat fair, somewhat mean assessment of his character. My next note is, in all caps, oh my God, I can't believe how many scenes are devoted to the stupid golf bullshit. So with the game nearly over, Rush is cocky and nails his putt. And then Steve takes his turn, and Barry nicely tells him not to worry about such an easy putt. And Rush doesn't hear him except that he's talking, and he assumes that Barry is trying to psych Steve out, which he's not. But then Steve deliberately misses the putt in order to foil Rush's plans, and Rush can tell that he threw it and is furious. But Steve did also tell him he wasn't going to play along. Also, clip number four.
What are you doing? It's a lousy club tournament. The trophy isn't even sterling silver.
Such a weird detail. Oh. It's clearly not the point.
I know.
Like, you're not playing
like,
for Victorian.
But if it were sterling silver, you'd be okay with whatever this is.
I don't know.
Very weird.
Anyway, Rush tries to shame Steve with talk of what a loser he is, and Steve threatens to miss the next putt on purpose unless Rush ditches his super balls. Rush bitterly agrees, and Steve gets them to sudden death. No, end it, but there's more daddy shit. And they have this exchange, clip number five.
I'll tell you something. I never did anything like this before.
Oh, please. You gotta be kidding me. You tell me you got where you are by reciting the Boy Scout code to people?
I'm trying to tell you that in business, people go for your throats. They put the screws to you. It's dog eat dog. You want to stay on top, you do what you have to do. Golf course is something different. Golf course to me is my field of honor. I never did anything like this before.
I know I keep bringing up OJ Made in America, but there's a part in, I think, part two of that, where that old dude that used to be, the old white bald dude that was friends with OJ, like, back in the day, he was wearing right. a cravat in all of his interviews, I believe. You know yes. what I'm talking about. He looks like a wiener in a button down. Anyway, he talked about OJ cheating at golf. And I tweeted something about it at the time because it struck me so funny that, like, that would be the detail or any of the details that this guy would remember about his time with OJ, the alleged wife murderer. And someone tweeted back to me, no, that shit is real. And the reason I think that this person said this does not reflect the views of the Again With This podcast, but he said, I think the reason Trump is going to lose is that people know he cheats at golf and they're not going to stand for it.
It could be. People take that shit serious. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, look, I am capable of playing. I play terribly. Mm-hmm. I am capable. My brother and I both learned so that we would be able to converse with our parents in this strange, boring language. But the shit is hard, and I am but people are very, like, they are very honorable mm-hmm. about, like, moving the ball properly and, you know, fixing the little divots, and that, like, people take it really seriously.
Yeah.
But they also spend $70 on what is basically a polo shirt with a club name stitched on it. So it's not rational. There's some, like, weird, visceral, like, field of honor shit going on that right. I don't get it, because who cares?
Right. I would just like to put an, if you can imagine, invisible Chiron on this whole exchange that it just reads LOL white people, because seriously, come on, white people care about something.
Oh my
god. Anyway, really? Let's wrap this
and
up.
And Barry Larson is a part of a subplot about Steve confronting his cheating father is like, okay.
I mean, it's retroactively ironic because I assume all of that other stuff with Barry Bonds happened after this, chronologically.
Yeah, this is before the size 9 hat era, so yeah.
Anyway, Rush says he cheated this time because he's 54 and he wanted to know what it would feel like to be back on top again of golf at their fucking club. Steve says he'll win the tournament for Rush after all, and Rush tells Steve he's a better golfer than Rush ever was. Holy shit, what an admission. Steve sinks his putt, Rush is astonished and happy, and Barry and his dad graciously congratulate them because they're the only classy people in the storyline. Moving on!
No.
Fucking golf, shut up forever, golf. B-plot. Josh.
Oh my god, golf is so much more preferable to the fuckwittery that is about to confront us.
Well, let's get into it. So Josh shows up at the Walsh house having heard about Brenda's arrest, and Brandon is snippy about it. So Josh says he's actually there because he's wrapping up his Brandon profile. Who is he, Robert Caro? This fucking profile. No one cares
seriously.
About this biography, Josh.
Volume one.
Oh, man. Jesus. Anyway, he has a couple more questions in clip number 6.
How long have you and Lucinda Nicholson been having an affair?
Still chewing on that old shoe, Richland?
I call it tenacity.
I call it libel.
Is that a denial?
You really want to go to war with me?
Oh, please. As far as the Condor's concerned, you're fair game. Besides, I know it's the truth.
Then what do you need me for?
Well, technically nothing. But there's still a few loose ends, like having Kelly Taylor pretend she was your girlfriend at all of those task force dinners. What was that all about?
You know what, Josh? I finally understand this. You're not a reporter digging for a story. This is personal, isn't it?
Everything's personal, Walsh. Everything that matters.
Is this blackmail?
Okay, you're a pretty smart guy. Let's see how smart. Here's the deal. You back me for student body president next year, I won't move the story.
No deal, Richland. You want to run this crap, you go right ahead. But just know something. I'll get you.
Ooh.
Josh, can I get you something? A cup of coffee?
No, Mom. Josh was just leaving.
I just...
He's such a dingus. Like,
oh,
the other
God.
Thing to note in this conversation, based on what's about to happen later, is that he either evades the question or straight up lies. Like, when Josh asks how long have you and Lucinda been having an affair, he says that's libel, which it's not. You have been having an affair, technically. You know,
also the allegation, I mean, this comes up like in, like, this is more in effect later, but seriously, who cares? She was not his teacher.
Right.
She was not married anymore.
Yep.
He is over 18, and no one cares. No one cares.
No one cares. Also,
so how is it blackmail? Like, it's not libel because no one cares.
Right.
It's not blackmail because no one cares. And how this scene manages to make Josh Richland the sympathetic figure when he's like a terrible politician and a terrible journalist, and yet somehow I'm like, go Josh.
I know.
Because yeah. Brandon.
That's the other thing. It's like the only reason there's this mythos around how powerful or important Brandon is because you're feeding it by working on this profile for the last 8 months. And what does it benefit you at all to have Brandon support for your candidacy? Like, he's nobody. Just because he's on the task force doesn't mean anything. Plus, the task force is presumably going to be over by the time you're running. So, like, no one cares now. People are going to care even less by then.
Ugh. And you're running for student government. No one cares about that.
Yeah.
No one cares about any of this.
Nope.
Both of you eat some bees and die.
So Brandon goes straight to the gym to confront Lucinda about what she told Josh because he assumes all of this came from her. There is, in the visual aids, I'm very proud of it. I made it. It's an 8-pack of the horrible faces Brandon makes at Lucinda during this conversation. Each one more punchable than the last. It's maybe my favorite.
Oh my God. As you work your way down the lineup card of punchable faces and you're getting into his I'm making some awesome, smug, condescending
yes.
points. And so I'm going to make that butter wouldn't melt in my mouth face.
It's even worse than the
brave faces. This is the closest I've ever come. Yeah, it's so much worse. This is the closest I've ever come listening to this episode and prepping it, throwing my laptop out the window because of Brandon. So let's get this over with.
Okay. There's a lot of stops in this conversation because there are many points where I'm going to need to comment on what has just happened. So this actual short conversation is like 3 separate clips. So Lucinda says she didn't tell Josh anything, but when Brandon insists she's the only one who could have said anything, clip number 7.
Now, why would I do something like that?
Oh, I don't know. You got your grant to do your little movie. You're leaving CU. It doesn't matter to you anymore.
2 things. After spending weeks of this show watching her scramble for funding, all of that just happens off screen. What the fuck, show?
Yeah, I mean, okay.
And also, your little film, fuck you. I don't care
also,
about it either,
also,
but I didn't fuck her.
Yeah, and also, for someone that you were addressing as Beb, this is not how you talk to her. And also, if it didn't matter to her anymore, why would she fucking put the screws to him on her way out the door if she doesn't care?
Yes. And if he's
much better
wrong,
to be no comment, click.
Right. And if he's wrong and this didn't come from her, then him coming to her and being like, fuck you up and down, might just be the reason that she's like, oh yeah, I don't have any reason not to burn this bridge, Josh. Anyway.
Yeah.
So the conversation continues in clip number 8.
I'm not out to hurt you, Brandon.
I wish I could believe you, Lucinda, but I don't.
That's your problem.
Oh.
Sure is.
If only that were where it ended, though. Then she has to go and ruin it. Clip number 9.
I do have feelings for you, Brandon.
Ugh.
Even if you can't understand that.
I can't even begin to understand that.
Clearly.
You know, this is where it all began. It's too bad we can't start over. You could spot me, I could spot you, go for coffee. Who knows where it might lead?
It wouldn't lead anywhere.
Okay, well then I guess this is goodbye.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Brandon. How about one last kiss for old time's sake, huh?
Who'd you sleep with to get your grant?
Have a nice life, Brandon.
Yeah, you too.
Oh, he's the worst.
He is the worst. He is absolutely the worst.
Yeah.
I mean... I'm speechless. I am speechless that he is not dead. Like, why did you not, like, swing a kettlebell up between his teeny legs? Make
but
him a
the
soprano
worst part is,
and end this.
It would be bad enough if that were the end for them, but then there's more where she's still trying to fuck him, like, girl, move on. He is not worth it. Clearly, he has no respect for you, and he's a bad person. We agree. Later, Jim is great for Brenda, who we will get to, and accidentally gives Brandon the guilt sweats in the process in clip number 10.
I don't know how in the world I managed to raise two kids who are so different.
Maybe we're not so different.
Believe me, you're different. I look at you and I'm so proud of what you've accomplished. You're bright, you're talented. Now that you're on the task force, people are really starting to take notice. You're going to be quite a force to be reckoned with, Brandon.
Based on what? Based on what? Is this still about the
Seriously.
Task force?
Because... What tasks has he even done?
Right. So
the
far,
only thing
all we
he's
know,
forced he's... anyone to do is us to barf ourselves inside out with how fucking gross he is and how entitled. All
Again,
of you shut up.
I said this a couple of episodes ago, but so far all we know that they have done is tried to get more teaching hours out of the instructors. So again, this seems to be a labor busting movement. It's not cool. He should not be proud. All of this is stupid. Moving on. For once, this is not an opportunity for Brandon to preen about how great he is in comparison to Brenda, because it actually offers him a lead-in to tell Jim about Josh's story in clip 11.
There's a guy at school, a junior. He writes for the newspaper, and he's been doing a little digging about me.
What skeletons could he possibly find in your closet?
The female kind.
The tone on that ending. He is so proud of himself.
Yeah,
the
he really
female
is.
Kind.
Jesus,
which you can tell by their pelvic bones.
It also just makes it seem like Brandon killed a woman and left her corpse in a closet. Uh-huh.
I imagine he opens up the closet and looks like that girl from The Ring. You know, and there's
tiny
another
beard.
One that's completely skeletal.
Uh-huh. Misha Barton.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was Joan of Arcadia.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
Good Dave, job,
pop
Dave.
Culture. Victory. Yep.
Dave is smart. I'm dumb. Anyway, Jim doesn't get it, so Brandon spells out the circumstance with Lucinda, ending thus clip number 12.
I just wanted you to hear it from me first before the story comes out in the Condor tomorrow and my political career comes to a grinding halt.
You don't have a political career. Also, Jip might never know this, because why would he read The Condor? Why would anyone?
It's not
oh
the
God.
Blaze. Also, phrasing, don't say grinding to your father in these circumstances, please. Also, go play in traffic.
Stop it, Dave. Jim leaves the conversation with one final guilt jab, this one intentional, in clip 13.
Well, I gotta hand it to you, Brandon. I didn't think anything could possibly take my mind off Brandon this afternoon, but you did it.
What?
Ew.
Who cares?
Yeah,
who
no cares? One. So then on campus the next day, Josh waylays Brandon. The story has come out, and because it's apparently extremely complimentary, Brandon calls it a great piece, LOL. Here's Josh's explanation for backing off in clip 14.
Well, I did some thinking. And you know what I came up with?
What?
I figured out that we're the same, you and I. We're, you know, in a snake pit, and we're all snakes.
And since when do snakes have scruples?
I don't know. I wouldn't call them scruples.
Me neither.
I just figured if you had the integrity to stand up to me, you must be a pretty honest guy.
What?
I couldn't trash that. Kind of circular logic, isn't it, Richland?
I mean, congratulations for the use of that phrase, because yes, it is. But also, clearly what has actually happened is he didn't have any proof for any of his suspicions, so he published the story that he could with the information he actually got, not because Brandon was so upstanding that he didn't crack under pressure. Instead, he just lied his fucking face off every time they talked, like, over and over again. That's not integrity. Oh, my God.
And even Brandon would probably tell you that that wasn't integrity. That was just him being arrogant and hoping they'd kill the story, which is what happened. And also, what the fuck would you know about integrity, 12-inch waist? That is not how reportering works. Go eat some pasta. Eat some more pasta and think about what you've done before you get hit by a car. Oh, I will spoil it.
Put some whey powder in the sauce while you're at it. So, nevertheless, they end on
friendly
terms.
How about some go-away powder?
Brandon might back his campaign after all. Oh my God, I'm here on the edge of my seat. Moving on to our A story. Yes, Dave.
You forgot about the fresh Brazel.
Did I?
But before we get to our A story.
That was so bad.
Oh, no.
Pasta puns. Time over.
First, we have a message.
Yay! This is actually an extremely important message because it goes out to Curious Parker, half the inspiration for the Moomoo Parker Challenge, and it goes like this.
Dear Curious Parker, another year older, another year wiser, and then a question mark?
Happy birthday with love from your friends, formerly known as the Fellowship of the Ping. Happy birthday,
Happy
Curious
birthday, Curious Parker! We will get to your feature in just a moment, but first, our A story, Brenda versus the Law. So we watch as a couple of cops process Brenda for jail. There's a great gif in the visual aids of her getting her mugshot taken. No one else in holding with her looks nearly rough enough, by the way, but when she's in the cell, she locks eyes with an unrepentant Terry Austin, but they don't speak, which...
Also, since when is the holding cell co-ed? Since never. Come on.
I was wondering that as well. Seems like a recipe for getting a lot of people sexually assaulted, which is probably why it doesn't happen in real life. Good job, show. Outside, Dylan and Kelly show up to bail Brenda out to the tune of $50,000. Dylan and Kelly strategize in clip 15.
So what do we do now?
Well, I didn't want to come to this, but I think I'm going to have to tell her parents.
I don't understand why we just didn't do that in the first place.
I promised her I wouldn't.
Well, I guess you're going to have to break your promise, aren't you?
What's your problem, Kelly?
Why is it that every time Brenda's in trouble, she calls you first? You're not a guardian angel.
Do you even hear what's coming out of your mouth? Huh? One of our friends is down here in trouble, and you're giving me a problem because I came down to get her out? Come on.
I guess I'm just not used to having to bring my friend out of jail in the middle of the night.
Unless it's Brandon getting a DUI, but I guess we forgot about that shit.
That's a good point. I even forgot about that shit.
And right. Josh didn't uncover it. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Although, would his record have been scrubbed because he was a minor? Anyway, Kelly, I sort of see Kelly's point in this episode. I'll just say that. There'll be more of it later, but I kind of see where she's coming from. So the men are getting ready to leave for golf at the Walsh house when Dylan and Kelly pull into the driveway, blocking everyone in, by the way, rude, and give Jim bad news. Meanwhile, at the lab, Andre and the rest of the scientists try to clean up. The only animal left is apparently this little puffball of a puppy. You can see him in the visual aids, this idiot. So cute.
So cute.
He gets a snuggle from Andrea. All of the animals that are still in the building are up for adoption now. And then the family plus Dylan and Kelly are waiting in a courtroom for Brenda to get arraigned. Jim comes in having posted bail. Brenda's attorney doesn't seem optimistic since the lab was doing government research, which means she could be charged with a federal offense. Good job, Brenda. And in holding, where, as I have in my notes, men and women are all together, which would they be? Question mark. I don't think so. Chest hair gets aggressive with Brenda in clip 16.
This is all your fault.
Oh, shut up, John. You don't know what you're talking about.
Who else tipped the cops? We should have known. Prancing in at the 11th hour, begging us to go along.
I swear I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, you better pray you didn't tell anybody.
Leave her alone. She's a kid. She's scared.
Oh, she better learn to grow up real fast.
Whatever it is. Also, maybe you should be concentrating more on, like, let's all get our story straight, whatever. Anyway, there's also, in the background of one of these shots, the ringleader guy with the gray hair does a total blowjob cheek. You can see that in the visual aids. I get it.
Oh, yeah.
Brenda pleads not guilty on a bunch of charges. Her lawyer asks for bond to be reduced, but the judge refuses. And at the beach apartment, Donna gets sentimental about a shoe that Rocky chewed, and then judgmental about Brenda in clip 17.
Who would have thought that taking a stray dog would have started all of this?
Somehow I don't think this is his fault.
You know, I just keep thinking that what if I had gone along with Brenda last night?
You never would have done anything like that.
Why? You don't think I have the guts?
No, it's not a matter of guts. It's a matter of judgment, which you have. And I'm not always sure Brenda does.
That is a stinging indictment of someone who, from someone who is a drug addict who's been sober for like 6 days and before that was trying to bury a knapsack full of narcotics on the beach. Just saying. Shut up, David. It's true, yeah. In this instance, Brenda did not exercise good judgment, but fuck off. You're not the one to call her out, dude.
No, not when you lost your sister by passing out on a park bench.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Also the dancing. Anyway, Donna notably does not defend Brenda, which I think is pretty disloyal of her. Back home, Jim kind of proves David's point as he enumerates some of Brenda's greatest hits in clip 18.
We ran off to Mexico with Dylan. I got that phone call from the customs inspector to retrieve you at the border. I thought that was pretty bad. Then you packed up and moved back to Minnesota, where you attended college for a grand total of 4 days. Then you pulled that ridiculous stunt. You elope to Las Vegas with Stuart, and I thought, this is it. This is the lamest thing she'll ever do. But you know what? I was wrong.
Lamest seems like a weird word under the circumstances.
Hey, Lloyd, mellow off. Okay.
Oh, God. Instead of saying that she was rooked into a radical plot, which is kind of true, Brenda doubles down on her pro-animal political position. And when Cindy pushes back, Brenda takes entirely the wrong tone with the people who just bailed her ass out in clip 19.
You know, you guys were involved in anti-war demonstrations. And Brandon led a walkout on the school board. Nobody said anything to him.
I mean, it was an entirely different matter.
Why? Because you agreed with him or because he wasn't arrested?
No.
The fact that you were arrested is not the issue here. What matters is what you were arrested for. What Brandon did, what your mother and I did years ago, was nonviolent protest. But destroying a university laboratory?
Somebody had to stand up, Dad. Animals are being tortured and mutilated for no reason at all. I thought that I could make a difference. I don't know what else to say.
Thanks.
Kick her out. Seriously.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Don't. The federal charges part is really where you have to kind of consider whether you have the moral high ground. Like, consider what you were doing. And also all of her posturing about like animals, this and that. Like, you don't know any of that was happening in the lab you actually broke into. You went over to a dude's house and were like, put me in, coach.
Yeah.
Anyway.
While wearing your Army-Navy jacket. And also, this attitude persists throughout the entire episode. Like, during her arraignment, she turns around to make sex eyes at Dylan while looking defiant. Like, you dragged the rest of the credits cast, except Andrea, down here. Maybe look a little contrite?
Yeah. They also had to get up in the middle of the night to help you, which, not okay. Jim tells Brenda that she needs to start facing the consequences of her actions and asks if she realizes that she will now have an arrest record for the rest of her life. She says she knows and that she's sorry for what the family's about to go through, although to Sarah's point, she doesn't sound sorry, before asking to be excused to go bathe. Cindy thinks a night after she's gone, Cindy says to Jim that she thinks a night in jail might have been enough punishment for Brenda. Well, Jim tells her that a worse punishment could still be ahead. So, I mean, I guess that's why she's not grounded, although now I'm getting ahead of myself to the next episode. I will spoil it. And upstairs, Brandon is a blessing as always in clip 20.
So, how's the food in prison these days?
It isn't funny, Brandon.
I know.
Do you? Because that's not very brotherly. It's been like 10 minutes that she's been home. Back off.
Yeah. Also, DUI. Like, I get that it's federal charges and destruction of property, but she didn't actually do that. And it's way less serious than, I don't know, vehicular manslaughter might have been.
Yeah.
Brandon.
Right. And at least, I mean, get all of the specifics of her particular case aside, she actually was trying to do something that is morally good. So, you know, whether she was as informed as she could have been, that's a separate issue. But he wasn't trying to do anything good when he went and drove drunk. He was trying to go and get more beer. So fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
Brenda tells Brandon she's scared of going to jail, duh. When the doorbell rings, she assumes it's Andrea and says she needs to talk to her before Andrea hears about it somewhere else. But it's not, it's Josh. We already covered that. Donna then very nicely joins Brenda on her crow meat eating visit to Andrea. Andrea only knows that Brenda's friends messed up the lab the previous night, and Brenda apologizes and explains that she was there. Donna defends Brenda by bringing up poor dead Rocky. Brenda says she thought she could save animals' lives. Andrea yells at her that years of research have been destroyed, and Brenda keeps trying to apologize, but things only get worse in clip 21.
Andrea, I know this may be the end of our friendship, but you've got to believe me. I didn't know it was your lab until it was too late. I mean, we were going down the hall.
Brenda.
I was supposed to stand lookout.
Brenda.
And when they went to lab 33, I tried to stop them, but I couldn't.
Listen, Brenda.
Actually, look, I can't handle this myself,
no,
okay?
No, you can't. The last thing you and I need is to be pulled into this, but if we talk to Brenda, we might be.
I don't understand.
Look, I don't want to know what happened. I don't want Andre to know what happened either because it makes us accessories after the fact.
That's ridiculous.
Do you want me to go in the next room and get the book on criminal procedure? Look, Donna,
yes.
I can't tell you what to do with your life, but I don't think you want to be subpoenaed either.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes, I'm very serious.
She's already been arrested. What?
Yeah.
What more? It's not like they're hiding her from the authorities. She's already been processed.
Yeah, like, why don't you pass the bar to L before you start telling people that they're going to be accessories this and accessories that? Like, this is fucking classic law school. Let me just stop you right there. Like, let me stop you. You are not admitted to the bar in the state.
Yeah. Also, do you want me to go get the book? Fuck off. Yes, go get the book.
Yes, actually,
sounds like
I do.
It's gonna make
go
you
get
feel
the book.
Better.
Hit yourself with it until you're as unconscious as we are with the boredom that you cause by coming on screen. Stunad.
So Donna brings Brenda home and reassures her that Jesse was just being paranoid and very nicely offers to come in and support her while her parents yell at her. But Brenda decides to declines in order to take a walk in her motorcycle boots, as you do. And then we see that Harry Chest is spying on her from a car. Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. It's such dramatic blocking, too.
Yeah. There's a gif. You can see it in the visual aids. At his place, Kelly and Dylan are lying down for a nap or whatever. She says he only has one person to blame for how tired he is. And when he asks her not to start about Brenda, she puts the move on him instead. But they've barely started when there's a knock at the door. As we heard up top, it was Brenda. Kelly doesn't want to let her in, repeating what Donna told her about Jesse's warnings. Also, and she keeps saying, like, we don't want to be subpoenaed. Like, do all these idiots realize being subpoenaed does not mean you're, like, charged with anything? That just means you have to testify. It's not really, I mean, it's a big deal, but it's
and
not,
it'll
like,
be thrown out
trouble.
Because it's hearsay evidence. Jesse, go get your fucking book.
Anyway, Dylan dismisses...
Get your fucking shine box.
There it is. Dylan dismisses Kelly's concerns and opens the door. Brenda wanted to thank them. Every nice thing Dylan says to Brenda makes Kelly more pissed off. She is very gif-able in her exasperation. And then things get even more uncomfortable in clip 22.
One night in jail is definitely enough to make me realize I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have thought of that before.
Kel.
But I'm sorry, I don't know what you expect from me. What about friendship? What about friendship? How far is this supposed to take us? What, do you just expect us all to jump in the jail cell with you, keep you company?
What is your problem?
You want to know what my problem is?
Not really.
I am sick and tired of stepping aside every time Brenda comes running to you with another crisis. Every time you call, he runs. Whether it's Palm Springs in the middle of the night or jail, wherever it is, he runs. He's not your boyfriend anymore. And obviously you're not my friend anymore.
Kelly is right that she should have called her parents. Like, it was stupid that she... Even Brenda says, I don't know why I called Dylan. Obviously, I was going to have to tell my parents eventually anyway. Like, she is not his responsibility. Kelly is kind of right about that.
Yeah. And, yeah, okay, she could have pointed that out in private, except she did. And Dylan's like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
Like, well, it's actually the same problem it's been for, like, a year and a half, which is that you two hate each other, but sure. Let's act like Kelly's being a big old bitch, which I kind of enjoyed. Frankly.
I do, too. It suits her better than the simpering. Anyway, Brenda comes back from Dylan's.
Great.
Her parents have just been sitting there waiting for her to come home because it was the 90s and they couldn't text her because the FBI wants to see her. And at a federal building.
I love how that's phrased, too. That it's like the FBI likes to see you like it's the Countess. Like.
Right.
Like a jingling bell downstairs at Downton Abbey, like, oh, that'll be the FBI.
So they all head over to Federal Building, where Jim can't believe a government agency has kept them waiting for 20 whole minutes. Jim, live in the world. Her lawyer tells Brenda to let him do most of the talking and to be honest, and she says that she will, but first she has a dumb declaration in clip 23.
It's just that I know I got caught up with a bunch of extremists. And I know what we did was wrong. But I won't apologize for standing up for the ethical treatment of animals.
Oh, God. I mean, I get it, but stick it in a blog. That's not what any of this is about. You were charged with a crime. Like, no one
also
wants an apology.
You do actually need to apologize so you don't fucking go to jail.
Well, yes.
Like, that's the situation. You apologize. Maybe you get to leave after you rat on your friends of 8 minutes.
Right. Anyway, the lawyer actually says it's not about apologies because it's about making a deal, which is a different thing. Anyway, Jim can't with her. And then enter Harry Chest. Oh, my God. He's in a suit. He infiltrated this group 6 months ago. I kind of doubt this FBI agent would be taking this meeting without a federal prosecutor present. But OK, I don't know about the government, I guess. The FBI is not after Brenda. Duh. He knows that she tried to stop the attack and her choice is hard time or no time. And they'll drop the charges against Brenda if she'll cooperate. She'll just have to swear an affidavit and she'll probably never even have to testify in court. Her parents are relieved. You can see in the visual aids, Jim's hair is all like rumpled and sticking up because he's so stressed out.
I know.
And then okay. Brenda gives them like this side eye of like, see, it all worked out in the end, which is like, I was with you and then you lost me. That look is not appropriate for the circumstances. Look grateful, not smug and vindicated. You jerk.
Yeah. Also, don't wear a claw clip to a meeting at Federal Building. It's not appropriate.
Agree. And then David is walking into the apartment with Andrea, who now has a box in front of her large baby bump. They call Dawn out to see what's up and introduce her to the puffball Puffy from the lab. David and Andrea decided to name him Rocky II. Terrible name. Much later, Dylan and Kelly are still fighting about his having helped Brenda as they park at the Peach Pit. Inside, I'm sure Nat is thrilled that Donna is letting this puppy park his actual butthole right on the table. See that in the visual aids, too.
Also, they're feeding animals human food again. Like, guys, please stop that. Get some kibble and do it outside in the alley.
I think it's just a dish of water, but I'm not sure. Regardless, I'm more scandalized by the butthole, as I mentioned. Andrea tries to find more fosters for the remaining animals in clip 24.
Dylan, you want a new puppy? You can fit you a newspaper, your slippers, anything you want.
I've had about all the domestic bliss I can handle.
Ooh, that was directed at Kelly, and she is not pleased. Shut up, Dylan. Don't air your dirty laundry.
Yeah, also, they're still having that same fight from, like, the day before. Like, they just picked it up right where they left off.
Yep. Kelly gets off another pretty good eye roll at that remark. And then in walks Brenda, but as everyone tenses up, thanks to Jesse, she gives them the latest news in clip 25.
Don't worry. All the charges have been dropped against me, and I'm cooperating with the FBI, so you guys don't need to be afraid to talk to me. Brenda, sit down. No, I'm not staying. Look, I just wanted to say I'm sorry if I put any of you in an uncomfortable position. I know that you had to look out for yourselves. And I know that some things stretch the boundaries of friendship. But I hope none of you ever feel as alone as I have felt.
I just drove over here to tell you all some shit, and then I'm going to leave. Shut up, Brenda.
I mean, I will say her outfit is completely on point. I love that top. I want it. But the self-pity is so not cute. Like, hand over the shirt and get the fuck out.
Yeah. Donna says that she will go after her, but Kelly takes that bullet. And in the parking lot, Brenda tells her she felt like she didn't have a friend in the world. Kelly is sorry for the things she said, blames it on jealousy, and they have this exchange in clip 26.
You're jealous of me? Why? I mean, you have Dylan. But something tells me I won't have him forever. And I can't help but think that you'll always be the one he'll remember as the great love of his life. Well, I don't know if that's true, but, I've been jealous of you ever since I moved here. Well, maybe we're even. And I know I was a bitch right when you needed me the most, and I really feel bad. Good.
As stupid as this episode is.
You two deserve each other. Bye.
I do like that exchange, though. It feels like what people would actually possibly say in that circumstance. Like, I was a wreck.
Yeah, that's
true. You were. let's move on.
Yeah, it's true.
And then Andrea comes out to call Brenda back to the table in our final clip.
Brenda, I better come in. Your veggie burger's getting cold.
What veggie burger?
The one I ordered for you. You are a vegetarian, aren't you?
Aren't you?
Yes.
I also like that moment because then it made a gif of her face after where she's like, oh, fuck, now I have to be a vegetarian. And then she's like, oh, yes, fine. She's so defensive. Anyway.
She's totally going to be the secret meat eater.
Completely. You know, Cindy is going to be like sliding her roast beef whenever she gets the chance. Anyway, inside, Brenda is glad to be home. She doesn't touch that veggie burger, though. And that is the end of Cuffs and Links.
Thank God.
All right, let's wrap it up with our MVP.
The puppy.
Who?
The puppy.
Oh, the puppy. Yes, definitely the puppy. Agree. I was like trying to think of who was the least awful, but everyone kind of was. Like Lucinda almost had it up to, that's your problem, but then I still have feelings for you. In the very next line, girl, no.
I know.
Least valuable player.
It's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm tempted to say Josh because we don't expect any better of Brandon, but the fact is, it's Brandon.
It really is. I mean, with an honorable mention to David for that sideswipe of Brenda, because as I already said, it's not really not his place to make that kind of a judgment. But yeah, Brandon is the worst. Which brings us to, in honor of the birthday girl, the Moo Moo Parker Challenge. I think it's a girl, right?
Yes.
Okay. After I said it, I was like, uh-oh, the birthday person. 5 ways from this episode Brandon might have ended up dead. Oh, any number of weights could have fallen on his head in that gym.
That's true. He could have been sliced in half by Josh Richland's very knife-like side profile. I'm sorry. It's been a long day.
He could have taken a bite of Brenda's veggie burger, not knowing what it was. And since I'm sure the veggie burgers at the Peach Pit are terrible, he could have barfed it up and continued barfing up all of his system.
He could have caught like Parvo from Puppy Butthole being next to the food service. Parvo's a dog thing, right?
I think so. And if Brenda hadn't gotten arrested, he could have actually gone on the golf tournament and gotten a golf ball embedded right into his brain. And that makes fun.
Why should into I it. Take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. We're still in the final chapter. Write fan letters. I probably hate Brenda more than you do. I hate the way she moves her lips when she gets her way. I'm glad Dylan McKay, Luke Perry, left that little you-know-what for Kelly Taylor, Jenny Garth. I think she should be taken off the set because she's a disgrace to Hollywood. Sincerely, CD, Norfolk, Virginia. P.S. I'm 11 years old. The rest of the letter was just kind of banal, but I just let PS kind of won me over. So end of excerpt.
Oh God, that's amazing. Next time on Again With This, peace. Don't wig out. We wish the show hadn't, but yes, it's the goddamn 60s episode. So make love, not barf, with our visual aids for this and all the other Again With This episodes on our website, which is at previously.tv, and you can follow us on Twitter at previously.tv. I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm at Tomato Nation on Twitter. My sensational co-host Tara Ariano is Tara Ariano on Twitter, and our superb producer David T. Cole is at Clark on Instagram. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.